This is Viva Con Agua.
Dear Benjamin, for all the people who have no idea who you are and what we're doing and what Viva Con Agua is, can you give a really short insight on yourself and Viva Con Agua so the people get the context about what we're talking?
Well, my name is Benjamin Adrian. I am with Viva Con Agua since 15 years. I am with Viva Con Agua South Africa since 1 year, and I am with Villa Viva since one fucking day. So, yeah, even though we are 15 years in the game of water, sanitation, and hygiene, connection, and joy, everything is starting all over again. So we are just about to actually open a new chapter of Viva Con Agua, and this is here in Cape Town.
So you said Viva Con Agua is about joy, about connection. It supported like more than 3 million people with clean drinking water. It's now in 7-8 countries. And in 2010, if I'm correct, we started the first social business. Why you, with your experience, think that social business is a game changer?
Well, I think there are different reasons. There is this common idea that actually charity sometimes is making people dependent, right? So it's about a donor who has a lot of money and who gives it to the poor, yes? And then some of these projects are done by these donations, which is great in general. To be successful in social business, you need to have your own drive. You need to have expertise. You need to have all these things. So I think at the end, so social business to change things and to drive change on this planet is, well, maybe more sustainable than just the donation model. And that's why we are doing it since 10 years, and that's why we want to continue doing it, because we think that, yes, well, together we can drive this change the best, in maybe with the combination of both, yeah, the charity and the donations on one side and the social business on the other side. So it's not either or, it's more as well as.
Why 1.5 years ago you moved to South Africa?
Well, I was living in Hamburg basically for 15 years. Hey, I mean, we were having a privilege to travel to different countries, see different water projects, and obviously, you know, being able to also come out of Hamburg. But in general, I was living since 15 years in Hamburg. So after all that time, of course, I also had the idea to have the chance to live in another country one time. And besides that, I really wanted, because I'm doing Viva Con Agua since 15 years also, right? And we are talking about the topics of the water projects, the topic in Uganda, in Mozambique, in Ethiopia since so many years. Yet we were so far away from these projects, like a long time, right? So what I really wanted to be is more close at where the water projects are happening. So I can understand better what our work is about, basically. Besides that, over the last 15 years, we saw the community growing a lot in the German-speaking countries, in Germany, Austria, Switzerland, of course, a little bit in Netherlands, a little bit in the US, of course. But the community of Viva Con Agua still is very German. Yeah, our communication is still very German. I mean, there is Viva Con Agua Uganda since a few years, but in general, our, let's say, African, I mean, Ugandan, Ethiopian, South African, Mozambique, and all of it, our community there, it starts to grow, but it's not as strong by far as it is in the German-speaking market. So at the end, I think that's what we want to do. We want to make Viva Con Agua a more international community, a more also African community. Of course, I cannot make Viva Con Agua an African community. I'm a German potato like you are, right? But when the chance presented itself here in South Africa to start something also with our very good friend and founder of Viva Con Agua South Africa, AJ Paul, You know, at the beginning of last year, I was like, let's take that chance. Let's take that chance and make and just do whatever I can to support being Viva Con Agua, support Viva Con Agua being an African organization more. So that's my service I want to offer, just to try to make Viva Con Agua more international, basically.
So if I do get it right, you understand yourself more like a bridge from like with the experience of Viva Con Agua, 15 years starting it, many social businesses, and then for the local people here to start together Viva Con Agua South Africa. Did I get you right?
Well, bridge is maybe the right, picture. It's the same like always with Viva Con Agua. Viva Con Agua is a platform, and it's not me or you or some other individual making that platform happen. We can just offer the platform in order to make people paint that empty canvas, right? So like it has been 15 years ago with FC St. Pauli, when we just said, hey, Viva Con Agua is an open platform. Everybody can join as long as it is fun, joy, connection, all of that, all profit. That was our offer. And then people around St. Pauli started painting that empty canvas. And it's still the same. Viva Con Agua also here in South Africa, for example, is an empty canvas, and a lot of people need to paint it. So yeah, it's not about an individual doing it. It's more about the community coming together, creating synergies, and then magic can happen. So yes, it's maybe that idea of a bridge to the next platform, basically, and open that one up.
Magic already happening. The first guest of the Villa Viva, his name is forever in the history books.
He's called Viva. It's so amazing. Today, I mean, we opened Villa Viva yesterday, right? And today the first artists were coming as the first guests for the street art festival here. And well, today we met our first guest and asked him what's his name. And he said Viva, which is actually crazy. We checked his passport. And
it's Viva Paradise.
That's his name in his passport. So yeah, I guess these things, coincidences, some call them. It's nice to meet them on the way, because for me, it gives you an approval that we are maybe on the right track. But things like that show that I think we are covered.
Yes, since we are white privileged boys, we both are covered, definitely. I want to speak about how Viva Con Agua is covered. And first of all, before we go into the social business concept, we have to make clearly that there are no donations involved in the social business of Villa Viva here in Cape Town. There is no money by Viva Con Agua put inside. And we are not invested in this project, like always.
Yes, of course, we never get invested into our own social businesses. I think that's something for us, it's normal. I mean, we also don't have the money to get invested. That's the other thing. But in general, we want to keep it clean in a way that's not the founders from back in the days now earn money through Viva Con Agua social businesses. We don't want that. It's just in general something we want to stay out of. It's actually nice to don't have this motivation of earning money through Viva Con Agua. For me, it's a liberating feeling. Other founders of other organizations and business models, they're always looking for their own money as well. They're lending money from the bank, it's on their own account, and da-da-da-da-da-da. So you always have that private motivation to earn money. And we don't have that, so much. Of course, we get a salary by Viva Con Agua, but in general, we're not invested into our social businesses. And for me, it's a liberating feeling. So of course, again, here we are not invested. To maybe make everybody clear what Villa Viva now is here. We had the chance to buy 4 properties in the middle of CBD Cape Town. So in the middle of the city, right? So that's where we are right now. It's the oldest backpackers of Cape Town. It started in 1990, when there were still apartheid times. Okay. So it is a long legacy where it comes from. Even back in the days, the backpackers, it was called the backpackers. was on the side of the ANC, basically, even, you know, when there was still apartheid. So the people were...
I think you have to give the context for the ANC.
Well, the ANC is the African National Congress, if I'm correct, which actually, I mean, with Nelson Mandela took over the government here in between 1990 and 1994, I think at the end. And that ended apartheid, right? And the backpackers was already there in these times, and they were campaigning for ANC, so they were already on the side against the apartheid regime. So, you know, the rooms are called like freedom fighters. So we are taking on a legacy here, and we'll try to, you know, bring that into the future. So it's four properties. It's the oldest backpackers in town. And we are now turning it into a Villa Viva, the first Villa Viva, actually, maybe not the last one, but the first one, which will be a space where people can meet, where events can happen, where we can have, you know, discussions, where we can develop products. It can be a social business hub, can be a meeting place for all the people from Cape Town, from South Africa, Africa, and the world. Of course, its core business is also hospitality. So there will be people hopefully checking in again. I mean, now a few of them, hopefully after Corona, more of them. And yeah, it's going to be open for a lot of volunteers. So, I mean, now it's crazy, you know, because it's Corona and everybody asks themselves, what the fuck are they doing? It's still Corona, you know, but we believe that Corona also will be, you know, terminated in the future. We hope so we trust that the world comes back to normal, maybe
it's
a new normal.
It's not a podcast about Corona.
It's not. It's not actually. Still, we're looking forward to a new normal, and then we want to welcome people from all over the world, not only from Germany, but also from New Zealand or the US or Kenya or wherever they come from. And that's something I'm really thrilled about, that we now open up a platform which immediately comes in English and which immediately is open to people from all over the world. And that is something I really love to see in the future, make Viva Con Agua more international.
If you go rewind Selector 15 years, and yes, the water is dripping. If you go back 15 years, did Viva Con Agua back in the days had something like the Villa Viva, like a home?
Well, the home of Viva Con Agua at the beginning was our kitchen, man. You know it exactly, where we lived together. That was the first water quarter, I think. You know, it was our home where everybody came to stay. And we had, before we had our first office, it was the fucking kitchen where Viva Con Agua has its home.
Marketing-wise, storytelling, it's a one plus, my friend. Really appreciate the long-term partnership, friendship. But I wanted to go on the São Paulo arena of Millantor, actually, because when you said what you when you just said spoke about the idea of the vision of connecting people from all over the place, this is actually what is also the arena of São Paulo, where all the people come from all over Hamburg, from even from different parts all over the world to connect with each other. And so I just had the idea that actually one of the first Villa Vivas or the first melting pots where Viva Con Agua came together was São Paulo.
Yeah, you can put it that way. I mean, Viva Con Agua always had a lot of spaces which have been created in a way where people come together, join their ideas, join their creativity, and then something comes out of it, right? No matter if it's maybe the football stadium of São Paulo where everything started, or if it's, you know, festivals where volunteers come together, if it's local crews of volunteers in all these different cities where people come together to share ideas. So in that sense, there was a lot of Villa Vivas before, but it was maybe temporary ones. Mm-hmm. Even the Millantor Stadium, you know, sometimes it's a let's call it as Villa Viva or a space for Viva Con Agua, but then later it's a space for FC St. Pauli, and maybe in others rent the space and then it's their space. So these spaces are shared or temporary. On a festival, it's a space for sharing for a weekend. Now that's different with Villa Viva. The Villa Viva spaces will stay for a long time. You know, I mean, these arrangements we were doing here, I mean, you have to go through all these contracts. It's an acquisition process of a property and all of that. So these proper contracts needs in place, and they have a long lasting quality, basically. So they really show a point, a finger into the future, you know, in 10, 20, 30 years' time. That's more the time span after which I am actually looking, you know, on Villa Viva in general. So that's a different quality that now we are starting that Villa Viva space with this long-term perspective. And it's a long-term platform where this matching can happen. And I think that's special.
So is it for you also a little bit like the foundation that hopefully Villa Viva and everything what we with the Viva Con Agua South African team built here together last longer than we live?
Why not? I mean, we always said, let's create, for example, the Viva Con Agua Foundation, because it already as an organization has the potential to stay longer than we do. I like this long-term thinking, long-term planning, long-term perspective. I mean, in the game, you know, in which we are in, basically changing the world for a better water for all for water and all of it, that's not short-term goals, even though we wish for it. But that's more a long-term transformation which needs to take place. And therefore, I think it's nice when people connect with Viva Con Agua or Villa Viva or Viva, basically, as something which is here to stay.
We spoke about charity just a little bit. I mean, you can all do your homeworks and read about charity on your own. But whenever it comes to charity, there's also the topic of white saviorism. So basically, a white Jesus coming to the poor country. I say country because mostly it's then put not as a continent of 54 countries with a lot of diversity, ethnical, cultural, language-wise, everything. But it's put as one package, Africa, and labeled like that. So it comes to like the white supporting, giving. There were a lot of people, celebrities who did shit on that. There's a lot of dialogue going out. What is your honest answer why you are here and why you believe? And don't get me wrong, I just want to make people aware that we are aware about the fact and that we care about the fact and that it's important for us that we are in dialogue and reflect ourselves. So that's the reason why I bring up the topic. And I probably know for myself why you are here, but what is your answer? Why you are here and couldn't it be done by a South African person, the job you're doing now, and then we go into the business model and everything for later?
Well, topic of white saviorism, or I mean, the whole topic also, not only white saviorism, but also racism in general. For me, you know, Cape Town is a place where I still need to digest what I actually experience here, right? For me, it's very hard to already put that in words, you know, but I mean, we are here in a city which is designed to separate people by their skin color, correct? You know, you have areas where only black people live, you have areas where actually white people live, and you have areas where colored people live, and they don't mix too much. And then there's this big inequality. I think the World Bank says Cape Town is the city which has the biggest inequality on the planet, okay? So it's the most unequal city with rich and poor, and also maybe the most racist city in its design, because the design still comes from apartheid. And it is designed to separate people and not give them equal chances. And even though it's 25 years later now, you still see these structures. Okay. So that actually for me is something, sometimes it makes me angry, sometimes it makes me sad, sometimes just speechless. And for me, it's still very hard to navigate with that. And I think I need more time and get deeper into it to basically be able to really talk about it. You know, and I first need to study it because I don't feel prepared yet to talk as an expert about it or whatever, you know.
Let me answer the question for you, maybe, if I'm allowed. I think, because I was thinking also about, and it's not about me, but I was thinking, am I allowed to travel here to South Africa? at the moment? Can I really be of any support here? And I know, since I know Vivo Con Agua, there would be no Vivo Con Agua South Africa at all without you moving there. At that time, it was not possible because there was no connection. The same was, remember, 2013, Materia, Paul Ripke, and all these people we brought to Uganda, and we started connecting with the culture of Uganda, with the music, with the hip-hop, with everything. And this was the seed investment for Vivo Con Agua Uganda. 4 years later, we started Vivo Con Agua Uganda. So it took us 4 years to be in a continuously cultural exchange. And the same is happening here, only faster, because we a little bit stepped up the game. We are faster. We have other tools like business where we come to. So, but if you don't have the experience of doing Vivo Con Agua, you cannot start Vivo Con Agua South Africa easily. It takes much longer.
You also have to be aware of the differences in privilege. You know, that's also something we need to be aware of, how big the privilege is to live on the rich side of the world, so to speak, and rich side of the coin in a way, why so many people are living on the poor side of the coin. And that is something I think you always have to be aware of, that that's given, you know, a present thing we want to get rid of, but it's hard to get rid of because, you know, the structures are like they are. But I think to be aware about these things is first. And then it's the question how you deal with it. And for Viva Con Agua, we always, you know, said, hey, it's music, it's sports, it's art, it's dance, it's all of these things, universal languages, which, you know, are a level where everybody can connect, no matter how much you have, how you look like, what you believe in. And I think that's something we chose from the beginning to avoid, actually, that power game between rich, poor, white, black, north, south, this and that, and try to bring people together and inspire each other, learn from each other, and create that space of togetherness. But still, we are not perfect, and we just try to do the best we can.
And we are no experts on that topic, so it's like one of your team colleague once said at some Pauli, it's thin ice and you have warm socks on. So maybe we go into a topic where we are a little bit more expert. I just wanted to make it up because I think it's a really important topic, and we have it in mind and try to improve. And the easiest way we can do is to empower local people and to empower people from marginalized groups and raise awareness about that.
For me, it's not even, you know, it's not even us empowering them. It's more like we trying to create platforms, and then everybody can just, you know, empower themselves. It's not us empowering others.
True.
Because that's
true.
Again, like, you know, for me, it feels like,
true,
yeah, it's just opening platforms where then everybody can empower themselves as good as we can, everybody. Like, so yeah, but you're very right. These topics need to be addressed, not with two potatoes, you know. That's why we're doing Villa Viva. That's why we do Viva Con Agua South Africa and Viva Con Agua Uganda, to get more people into that debate, to talk to more people about it, who are actually you know, can understand better actually the topic, you know, and can represent the topic even better. So we want to bring a lot of people in to empower that debate, basically. And that's what we do. But we always try to do it still in a joyful way and find a joyful way forward, not only looking at the problems, but also looking at the solutions, not only looking at the bad past, but also looking to the future. What actually, how can we do it better in the future? That's what I'm interested in. How can the next generation actually deal with these issues better? I think that's something we want to point our finger at.
You just said a perfect bridge to the concept, because Corona is a big issue, of course, on a worldwide scale, although a lot of people got really richer in these times, to frankly speaking. But why the fuck Viva Con Agua buys a backpacker hostel in South Africa while there's a pandemic?
I don't know, man, just because of that. I mean, the interesting fun fact here we can share is, for example, also the German NGO was struggling last year so much. I mean, at the middle of the year, when everything crashed down, our festivals, events, people meeting, everything crashed completely with Corona. Still, Viva Con Agua, German NGO, was able to transform itself in a way that actually 2020 was the most successful year of the German NGO regarding donations being passed on into projects. More than 3 million euros were going into water projects in 2020. It was the most successful year. How crazy is that? And I think, you know, for me, that is what inspires me about Viva Con Agua. It has the potential to adapt, to transform, and to always deal with new circumstances. I think that's something, maybe a gift or a capacity we need to keep, you know, to maybe use these moments of pressure and of change and you know, transform it to the next level. And I think that was something I felt last year when I was spending lockdown here in Cape Town. Afterwards, I went back to Hamburg for some month. And the idea was just, when we go back to Cape Town and to start Viva Con Agua South Africa properly, especially in these hard times, we need to get like a jumping board or springboard, or how do you call it, where you jump from, like a platform to jump from, like we had with St. Pauli at the beginning of Hamburg. If you don't have that, it's very hard, especially in these times. So that
and
was
in the center of the city. So the same what was right for Viva Con Agua and St. Pauli is now right for Cape Town, because it's in the center of the city.
Yeah, that's true. And I think, you know, especially with COVID and Corona, the insight was clear. If we don't manage to get a proper platform here to start from, it will be so hard to do anything, you know. So I think these diamonds, right, they are created through high pressure, isn't it? So I for me, it feels a little bit the same. We were able in 2020 to create some diamonds, even though, or maybe because the pressure was so high. Mm-hmm. And I really value that within Viva Con Agua for all these colleagues and for all that, yeah, that we actually manage to go into this transformation and start fresh. Yes, and maybe be a bridge in the future. That's also something, you know, to say, listen, we also, that's also something, if we can inspire people to say, listen, guys, there is a future, and it's still worthwhile to work on it, and it's still worthwhile to keep positivity and optimism. And I think that would be super great if we can basically pass that on.
Okay, now let's go into Villa Viva real talk. You said we bought the backpacker. How much money was it?
At the end, the buying price was around 1.5 million euros, or maybe 1.6 million euros. Of course, it was way more expensive before. So that was lucky for us in a way, just circumstances that with Corona, nobody else wanted to buy it right now. So that's why the price dropped with Corona. And we took that chance to basically buy these four properties in the middle of the city for 1.6 million euros, yes.
Why the old owners sold the backpack?
They're in the game, Tony and Lee, they're in the game since 30 years. They are running the business in 30 years. They're great ladies, as I said, with all the big legacy. And well, I think they got tired. They were just over it. I think they want to go surfing. Tony already lives back home in Tel Aviv. She's from Tel Aviv, and she's living there already now. So I think they wanted to enjoy their lives more and go more surfing and not run a backpack. Because what they say, it's a machine. It's open 24/7 in a way. You know, you always have to take care of it.
It's a big, big baby.
If the geyser breaks down or if the alarm goes on and you're home, still somebody can call you. There's a fire in the kitchen. I don't know what. So it's constant hustle. And I think they don't want to have so much hustle in their lives anymore, but more surfing.
Always when we start a new project, I ask you, who's the soul of the project? So who's the guy you wake up at 3 at night when there's something happening?
Well, the guy is called Pumla. She is with the backpacker since many years already. She will be the boss as well, and she will be accompanied by Felisa, who also will take over. Besides that, with Tina and Letu, there are two more ladies who worked here since many years. They are still here. And also with Michelle and Jose, we have two nice guys. And Michelle also was here since more than 10 years. So there are some people who have been here since many years and still stay here and are looking forward to even take more responsibility, because, you know, what I tell them is right now there are no more owners. Okay. There are no more owners in a way. Yes, there are some investors who made it possible. And then there's Viva Con Agua. But Viva Con Agua is not one owner. It's a community trying to support water projects. So that's the main change for me. It on one side, there's no owner. And on the other hand, there are so many owners. Everybody who works here and who comes here is in a way an owner of the idea and of the things that happen.
And even more, even the volunteers. And that's the reason why also we do the podcast, so that every volunteer who collected one cup or donated one cup is also an owner. And the ownership idea is really interesting, because I think it was in 2008-09 when I really realized that the ownership idea is so important to all projects we're doing. So can you explain and maybe make a bridge between the ownership in the project areas and the WASH project and the Villa Viva ownership? I never thought about it, but...
Well, in the water projects we are supporting, also, for example, here in South Africa, maybe we can also talk about that real quick after a moment. In the Eastern Cape, we have this beautiful water project just started last year. And it's always very important that the people who benefit from the project, or who actually are, yeah, in the area where the project happens, that obviously they need to take ownership of all the projects, not only of our projects, but of all the projects in the development sector. Because if there is just some organization, European organization, American organization, landing like an aeroplane, dropping some wells, and nobody is connected to them, they won't last. It will not be sustainable. So it's very important that the people are taking responsibility, take ownership, and understand that it's theirs. So if when the organization finishes the project, they can keep the project alive. And I think it's the same on an ownership level for business in a way, because you see so many owners and they're just invested, but yet they are so far away from the company. You know, they are living abroad and still only count their money or something like that. And that, for me, is also not a very sustainable approach on all levels, because the ownership must be, in a way, with the people who run the business also. You know, I mean, there probably some political experts would say that already Marx said something like that. I don't want to go that down that road. But, I mean, purpose, the Purpose Foundation, Purpose Economy, it talks about absent ownership. Okay, so that's something in Germany a lot of people are going after, for a purpose economy with the Purpose Foundation. And they have that topic of absent ownership, where the owners are somewhere but not running the company. And I think we are kind of don't want to have it like that. We want the Villa Viva to be a business and a place where the people who actually share the space are also running it and are taking the most important decisions.
I mean, at the very beginning of this podcast, we spoke about the purity about not owning anything in Viva Con Agua. It's not us, nobody of us. And honestly, we would be multimillionaires already if we could sell it. I mean, the brand is so, so valuable. But the reason why it is so valuable, because it's so pure and because we didn't invest. It's my reason. But now let's go to the point, who invested? So who are the families who gave us 1.6 million euros, who trusted in the whole community of Viva Con Agua that we're doing right, because it's a new business? Of course, we showed with the water, we showed with the toilet paper, we showed with the art gallery that we can also do social business, and that that we can come up with a valuable business case, and that they get their money back, all our investors from from older times got their money back and reinvested it. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Volker. Thank you all. But who are the new ones? Because there are a lot of new ones, some old ones, and what do you think why they are taking? Because you said an interesting thing. You said it's risky. Of course it's risky. If you start a business, you can always fail. And if there's a big whatever earthquake or catastrophe and it's gone, it's gone. And I don't know how insurance will pay for it. Probably you don't know either.
Insurance?
The way you smile at me. So who are the families behind it and why they gave it to us?
Yes, I mean, without these friends and investors, or I mean, for us, it's more friends, right?
Yeah.
Who joined to be part of it. It is a risky thing in a way, because I mean, you never know what happens here, you know, with the social inequalities here. You don't know how Cape Town will develop with the climate change and all of that. I mean, a few years before, there was a big drought in that city. So there are many risks attached, and also running a business. Maybe nobody comes because they don't like it and we just fail, you know. So many, many risks are attached. Of course, there's also some solid, I mean, properties you can always try to resell. So that's also a security on the other side when you look at the business. But then, you know, these investors or these friends, I think they all, you know, like to embark on this journey with us. Even
embark? I don't know the English word, sorry.
I think it's embark or something. But, you know, they are looking forward for the journey where actually we don't know how it will be, you know. And I think for them, at least that's how I pitch it, it's a combination between the things. First and foremost, when we make money, we are supporting water projects. So all of them are interested in that, you know, that the majority actually of the profits, they will go into the water projects, like they are going into the water projects in our water bottle business, or in the gold eimer toilet paper or wherever. So that's one. Then second, it's a nice group of people. It's a nice network. It's a nice community also for all of them. I think they enjoy being part of that community and sharing that. It's a fun project, you know, where everybody will just have a lot of fun while doing it. Maybe some of them can come to visit or just love looking at it from afar. And then of course, there's also an concept of return on invest. Of course, they also will get their money back slowly, not as fast as in other projects, as they could do in other projects. But of course, there will be a return on invest as well.
Real talk, business case. How many years? In how many years, if everything works, let's say normal, not best case, not worst case, they get the money back?
Well, we don't know exactly. It will be at least 10 years. It will be at least 10 years. All of them also need to stay in the business for at least 10 years. Nobody can run away before that. So they need to be on board for 10 years. It's not like now buying it and selling it 2 years later, but it's about creating a family more. And so it actually will last at least 10 years till they have the money back. Maybe we can do it in 10, maybe we can do it in 8, more probably maybe 12. Let's see. But I mean, yeah, so they also invested not the last money they have. That's also another thing. I mean, we are talking now about more than 20 investors. It's a group of more than 20 people. It was an interesting challenge, you know, we can make it transparent, because it was not us only, you know, looking at male investors, of course, because we always, you know, want more female investors as well. But for some reasons, it's not so easy to find so many female investors.
Wait.
At least for us, it was not so easy. So it is a majority of male investors. For me, it's also a sign that, you know, maybe equal pay and all of these things. I think the wealth or the money in Germany is still concentrated with a lot of men, not so much women. I think in percentage, maybe that's something you can actually look at it at an empirical level. For us, it was not so easy to find as many female investors as male to make that transparent here.
I really want to interrupt on that, because statistically, I think on a worldwide level, there's more money at the ladies. On ownership, but please somebody prove us and write us.
We need to know that. We need to know that.
But there's, I can tell you why it is like that. Because when we started Vivo Con Agua, we were for white privileged cis boys, starting Viva Con Agua. So what happened, of course, we went on the festivals, you played soccer. So we met other guys easily. And these are still one of the biggest supporting groups in the investor field and the Viva. If you say Lasse Sobich, if you say Max Kruse, Bela B, they were all from the very beginning. So what happens now, and this is a process we started 4-5 years ago to raise our awareness level in concerning diversity, get more female support in the leaderships of Viva Con Agua, to make diverse teams with Viva Con Agua Arts, with Austria, with Viva Con Agua St. Pauli, and so it's happening, and still there's a long way to go, and we have to step our game up to get more attention into in these groups. So it's our failure, and I don't think that. But when we post it, we come up with the statistics on this topic too.
Yeah, I always say the best decision in the Viva Con Agua, in my Viva Con Agua life, was actually to hand over the CEO position of the German NGO in the hands of Caro Jenisch, which is the current NGO of the German NGO. Obviously, she is female and she's so much better than I ever was. You know, that is, like, for me, is such a good example how, you know, women can just deliver this better quality in the work context, you know, in some stages.
Without glorifying her too much, you also have to think about that it's a double leadership team. So together with Toby, who plays another role. And I think this is the most strongest possible group, is also always a diversified group, with people from different countries, from different perspectives, from different genders. And but let's go into Bela Viva and the connection to South Africa. You said that most of the revenues go into the water projects. Can you make it more precise, please? How the business model really, can you give it really, like, one time? Yeah. How much belongs to Viva Con Agua? How much belongs to the investors? When there's supposed to be the first donations by Villa Viva, and so on and so on.
Yes, there are two companies in South Africa. One is the Viva Con Agua, the Villa Viva House and the LTD, and then the Villa Viva Guesthouse LTD. So the Villa Viva House company owns the properties and rents it out as a tenant. And then the Villa Viva Guesthouse rents it and runs the business, right? Both of them are owned by the Villa Viva Cape Town Holding, which is based in Hamburg. So at the end, it's a German organization owning these two entities. We have to be very clear about that. In this German organizations, there are the investors involved with 40% of the shares, and then 60% of the shares are with Viva Con Agua. Yeah, so 60% of the profits go to Viva Con Agua Foundation, 40% of the profits go to the investors. After they have their money back, you know, now we said, because it is such a risky investment, we said until the money is back from them, they get 66% of the share of the profits, and Viva Con Agua gets 33% of the profits until the money is back. And then they fall down to 40% of the profits, and we get 60% of the profits. So on a long-term basis, Viva Con Agua will have 60% of all the profits. So that's basically the business model. So we are still running it from a German organization. We have to be clear about that. It's not yet a South African owned, on a business level. We have to be clear about that. It's still the German community being that bridge in a way. To open this here, we have to be aware and clear about it. So when are we starting to make profits, or when are we starting earning money? I mean, at the beginning, we will spend a lot. We will change the place. We already have a team, but not so many guests are coming. It's still Corona and stuff like that. And we hope that in the next summer season, which starts in October 2021 here in South Africa, that obviously guests are coming and it's possible to travel again. You know, that's something we hope, not only from Europe, but also within Africa, that we can welcome guests. And then hopefully in 2021, it will be the first year where we can make profits and when we can start paying the investors back and where we can start investing the profits on the Viva Con Agua side into the water projects. Probably there will be the possibility. I mean, all the activities we have, even before the profits, I mean, profit is only the bottom line on the spreadsheet at the end, yeah? But all the activities who will take care on and take place here at Villa Viva Cape Town will be steered towards the Vision Water for All and All for Water. I mean, we will paint the whole place. We're in the middle of the city. There are thousands of cars. It's not over, you know, done here. Thousands of cars are passing this house here. You know, it's so that these big walls on the side, so many people will see it. We start communicate that, you know, with events, with discussions, with, you know, all these things, with the art festival we are starting now here with our friends from Buzzard. So there will be so many activities which already drive in that direction there, right. and then also hopefully out of these activities there can already be money donated even before, you know, the bottom line on the spreadsheet and the profit. So we look at a diverse diverse benefits towards our vision, and even if we don't make any profits because we fail completely, we'll already trying to send out a sign in this city, but also from this city into the world.
I mean, I like this idea because I think it's about redefining success. And if I see your career as a soccer player, you could say you failed. I mean, you had everything. You played in the national team with 16. I think you played for German national team in the Wembley Arena. You played with the Hildebrands and Koranis, and you were a professional soccer player in three clubs. And some people could say you failed as a soccer player, but you succeeded as a human being and as a social, inspiring human being and as a friend, I can say from my perspective. So it's about redefining success. And since you mentioned it, I want to go there also because I think people will be really interested. What are the exact projects in South Africa we're supporting for already like a year now or started a year ago, and how they then maybe will be linked? But first of all, main question, what are the water sanitation hygiene projects here in South Africa?
I want to just talk quickly before I answer that question to the failed football career and the way you define success. I mean, for me, you know, my football career was the best I can imagine because I stopped at St. Pauli, which was the club in Germany where my football career, my work life and my personal life came together. There's no place like St. Pauli, maybe in the world, where the combination between the football and the culture and all of it of St. Pauli comes together in that way. So for me, that's why I stopped after St. Pauli, because I said, it's, you know, when it's the best, you should stop, or whatever you call it in English. So it is about defining success for yourself in this world. Unfortunately, you know, success is only money sometimes, or how many followers you have. I think with Viva Con Agua it's different. You know, you also talk about social return on invest and these other values being created, these other energies being sent out. For us, or for me, money is also a form of energy, right? And if you can't eat it at the end, you can't live from it if you don't have anything else. You always have to exchange money in a different form of energy, basically, and that's what we always try to do. It needs to be sustainable on a money level, yes, but at the end, all these other values are so much more important for us to come together, because money divides us sometimes more than it connects us. But you can use money also in a good way. That's also something someone needs to be aware of, that you can channel that energy in the right direction. And that's what we always try to do. So here we try to combine it. I have the social and the economical sustainability combined. And I think that's the possibility for these social businesses in the future, to say, listen, you can combine a return on invest on a money level, maybe not, you know, turbo maximization of money, but
which nobody needs.
But you can, you know, keep the value of your money and earn a little bit, and then you still accept that there are other values being created along the way. And that's what we try to do. For example, most important value, of course, at the end is the water projects we support in South Africa. It's the first time we run our own water projects. We have with AJ Paul, an expert from the field. He lives, works in the field since 25 years. He worked or even longer. He worked for Welthungerhilfe, our best partner, since 10 years. So 2 years ago, he came to us and said, listen, I'm moving to South Africa. I want to start Viva Con Agua South Africa. So that was the initial moment where everybody woke up like, whoa, now all of a sudden South Africa is on the map. And that's, and he actually gives us the possibility to build up our own projects, a team to run our own projects. We're not dependent on any partners anymore. Of course, we work with local partners here, but the project management and the quality assurance and everything, it's with AJ and it's with our own team. And that one I like a lot because Sivo and Mercy, two beautiful women, are now in the Eastern Cape and started the project last year. Of course, last year was a little bit rough with all the lockdown and everything, but now they're very busy supporting 50 schools. I mean, first evaluating 50 schools. What is the status quo? What are the circumstances and which means needs to be taken in order to improve the water sanitation and hygiene situation in these schools. And yeah, we're going to just be busy with that. And that will be our main project. Also, thank you to all the donors from Germany who support it. And we will also support it from Villa Viva in Cape Town, because that was some idea always, right? To not only bring money from Germany in order to support water projects in South Africa or Uganda, but try to raise money here in Cape Town. There's so much money. So we want to raise money here in order to support the projects in this country. And yeah, I think that's something we want to be busy with for a long term. And we are happy if you guys out there support the water project here in South Africa.
How did people can support Viva Con Agua South Africa at the moment? What you have as a call to action to them?
So many things. You can listen to that podcast, share it. You can donate. You can follow us on Instagram. You can just do some word to mouth and let the people know that, you know, we are trying to, well, come to the next level and that maybe you like it, and then you can share it with your friends. I don't want to invite you now to come here because I know it's Corona, and we are here also very aware that we need to, you know, wear our masks and be careful with the pandemic. So I don't want to invite everybody now to come. But soon you'll hopefully all be able to come if you want. And it would be great if people are coming also to support here on the ground, especially in the Villa Viva and in the city, because that's what this movement is all about, that we are exchanging. And not only people from Europe are coming here, but also the team from here goes back to Europe, you know, to exchange knowledge and be, we want to have a lot of bridges. There cannot only be one, two bridges. There need to be a lot of bridges to bridge the gap between us. And therefore, yeah, you're just invited to support and send energy. If you don't know how, make a prayer, make good wishes, you know, that everything happens smoothly here. We appreciate it. And of course, you can donate if you're in Germany and you hear that. Please, you know, go online and donate some money for the water project.
You think there are still some questions open? Why we do Villa Viva? Why we do it in South Africa, and how it will benefit our vision of bringing clean drinking water, sanitation and hygiene to the people all over the world?
If there are still questions open, please don't hesitate to ask them. We want to answer them as well, you know, and I think the people, which is a good thing, even if they hear it now, they still will be critical. You know, they will still ask themselves, are they really, you know, do what they say? Do they really mean it? Are they doing it in a proper way? Is it about them or is it about the people? Stuff like that. And I think it's a good thing. It always has been a good thing that we have a critical community, which is challenging us as well, because that's how we can develop, you know, our inner internal filter, so to speak. Yeah. So what I want from the people is stay critical with us, challenge us, ask questions, and that's how we can improve the whole thing. If we have fails, if we do mistakes, hey, everybody has mistakes, correct? So please don't be too harsh on us. We try to integrate your feedback and learn and grow and develop together. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, and if you like the idea of starting a social business, I mean, for me, when I heard the first time of the idea of running a social guest house, hotel, platform, community, but with the social business case of earning money by renting a bed to lay on, I thought, oh, come on, it's a game changer into this whole industry, because this whole industry is not really about being social or being like supportive to the communities. It's more like, and this is also a fact which we have to be critical about ourselves, about the ecology, about tourism, about people, how they come here, how they travel here, and what we offer them and how we can have an impact on that. And you can be sure that we are working on that. We are starting another social business. Maybe we do another podcast about this too, about the spouts in Uganda, the water filters, with then will have a CO2 compensation to compensate the CO2 Viva Con Agua produces in the world, with producing bottled water, with producing toilet paper, with then renting beds in Villa Cape Town. Yeah, so
very, very, very important point. The whole climate justice movement, and we need to be aware that traveling around the world is a big privilege for people with money, and we are tapping into that. We also want to make it possible for people who normally cannot travel to make them travel. You know, our friends, our team here, you know, having maybe interns or being in Germany, Austria, Switzerland to exchange what we already said. So, but in general, the topic of CO2 emissions and all of that is a critical one. And we cannot hide from that. And we need to really make up our mind how we, yes, work with that, and how we maybe try to compensate. At least, I know it's, you know, you should leave the CO2 in the ground and not put it in the air in the first place. And then on this, and the same time, yeah, well, in Germany you say there's one death, you have to die, right? I mean, and that is if you do stuff, you also break some stuff. And if you move, you're going to leave a mark. And that's also what we do here. That's the limits we have as well, where we are confronted with, that we cannot be perfect. But we always try to improve the situation as good as we can, especially with these CO2 emissions of people traveling around. I think it's very important for us to also develop models where we actually compensate CO2 as well. And all of the people who arrive here, they should also think about compensating their own flights and their own CO2 emissions. It's also very important.
So enough of blah, blah, blah. Let's get shit done and this place, a happy place. So thanks for listening. Villa Viva Backpack Podcast.
Yes, man, it's starting. So first guest arrived today. His name was...
Viva!
His name was Viva. Viva Paradise. Viva Paradise was actually the name in his passport. It was the first guest in the Villa Viva, which is crazy. And therefore, thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of it. Thank you for staying with us. And look forward.
This is Viva Con Agua. Dieser Podcast wird produziert von Podstars bei OMR.